you need.
I mean, Oklahoma doesn't have a natural recruiting base. I mean, that's why, right. that's why they pilfer Texas and get into the Metroplex as much as possible. Right here in Austin, Texas, with guys like Baker Mayfield and Samaje.
Herman's carrying a sack, man. He's got a sack right now. He's got a
sack. What
does
that mean?
He's got a sack. He's got a sack. All he does is open up the sack, stick players in his sack. You know what I mean?
I don't know what you're saying.
He's got a sack.
That's not an expression.
It is an expression. My man has a sack right now. Think about it. Hi, recruits. Come here. Jump into my sack. It's over with. It's over with now.
I'm a hard working man.
Yeah, hard working man, and we certainly are. Today, at least. It's Monday. It's Monday. Hope you were hard working or maybe not hard working over the weekend. Got some downtime. Got to relax, enjoy the first weekend of summer, officially of summer with the long days, and this was light till almost 9 o'clock
yesterday,
which is great. So you get the long days. All right, whatever you're doing today, enjoy it. It's going to be about 50% chance of rain, 90 for your high temperature. A little rain in the forecast again tomorrow, but then it clears out for the rest of the week. And a week that will include Bucky's birthday party on Thursday. We're going to have some fun with that. We'll get you full details between now and then. Also, get you the headlines here coming up. Jordan Spieth back in the winner's circle. You know, there's sometimes you get a headline, like, I don't even want to click on this story, and I'm not going to. I don't think you'll convince me. BK will watch it, but I'm not.
You'll watch it eventually.
No, I will not.
What is the story?
Here's what it says. This is just the headline. UFC fighter appears to blank herself while getting choked out.
Shard?
Like, she's sharding herself. Now, that's not something I want. I don't want to watch two women fight anyway.
I don't like that, no.
To see one woman choking out another woman, and I certainly don't want to see what that headline says happen. Because
Does that happen to fighters when you get choked out and you lose all your?
You're getting squeezed like a tube of toothpaste, I guess.
And then you just go loose, and everything else gets loose. You shard yourself, really?
Especially if you go out unconscious.
I just always see that. They always should say that about people that get hung. So I kept looking in the movies to see if it ever came down somebody's leg or their pants. I never saw it.
So gross, man.
Sorry, that is kind of gross.
You've seen that before in like marathon. Remember the dude who was doing the marathon in the Olympics, the fast walker?
Oh, remember that dude? Remember him? We had that.
We were watching it live.
Yes.
Because it was the Olympics, so it was on. It was like this dude was...
He was fast walking, BK.
Oh, yeah.
And he sharred himself.
Yeah.
Like it was coming down his leg. And he lost. He didn't even win. He was like in the lead.
He passed out.
That's right.
He got dehydrated.
He got dehydrated, sharred himself, and still didn't win. Remember, he was laying on the ground out in front.
Remember, he was way out in front.
Remember, he's laying on the ground.
Oh yeah,
shard everywhere. I mean, it was awful. It was awful. Sorry. So that's a bad picture on a Monday when people are trying to go to work.
Yeah, that is the thrill of victory and the agony of defeat. I mean, that was totally awful and humiliating for the poor guy.
So can you see that? Is
I don't
there a video?
See it. No, I'm not. You and BK,
BK
can go
is going to watch it.
Yeah, I watched it. I watched it.
Is it horrible?
Is it horrible?
Well, I mean, you can't see it actually happen, but you can clearly see it on the mat.
Oh, no.
And they keep fighting. They're like 6 inches away from it.
Oh, no, seriously? They're still going at it?
I don't know if they don't notice or they just keep going.
Call the fight.
Yeah, we need like a 20-second timeout there.
62 years old, you don't notice if you shard yourself? Is that what's going to happen to me?
Hey, ref, can we get a TO and a towel, please?
The ref's got to see that and, first of all, throw up a little bit.
See, this is why this show, we can't get into the Hall of Fame. This kind of talk is never getting us into the Hall of Fame. Never getting us with the women.
What do you mean?
And never getting us into the Hall of Fame.
Women shard too.
Not like that. I guess they do. Oh, man.
Oh, so.
Congratulations to Bobby Bones. I'm so happy for him.
What, into the Hall of Radio
that
Hall
of
Fame?
That is awesome for him, man.
That is cool. He's only like 37 like
I said,
years old.
I know. You were the second to call me when I lost my job. Bobby Bones was first out of the box. There's a lot of people that didn't even make a phone call. When I got tossed out with my sandals on, couldn't come back and get my stuff in that place.
Just walked you out. You did the perp walk out of the building.
I'm like, can I go get my bag? Oh no, we'll mail that to you. I'm like, I'm not going to go crazy. I'm just going to grab my bag and leave. No.
What do you think they're going to shoot the place up or something?
I thought I was coming back to shoot the place up. I'm like, really? You're just kind of putting me out of my misery. Just let me get my bag. Let me go. I got sandals on. You know, can I go back and get my shoes or whatever? And no, but Bobby Bones called me up first and said, I'm really, really sorry. That was awful nice of him. He didn't have to do that because the guy was a star. And I was a scrub.
He's a good dude.
He's a good dude, yeah.
He is a good dude. Hey, let's get some headlines, and then we'll pick up the weird conversations of the morning. Ticket City Update Desk. Headlines brought to you by UBO Business Services. And yeah, lead story has to be golf again. How about Jordan Spieth? He won his first ever tournament at the John Deere Classic back in his rookie year on a hole out on the first sudden death playoff hole. Well, how about yesterday at the Travelers Championship in Connecticut? Jordan had a two-stroke lead to start the day, headed down the back nine with a three-stroke lead, but then the wheels came off a little bit, and the hard-charging Daniel Berger charged down the back nine and tied him on the final hole. Ended up in a one-hole playoff, or a playoff, on the first playoff hole. Jordan Spieth found him in a greenside bunker about 60 feet from the pin.
Get it! Right at it. Right at it! Oh!
Jordan
He's
Spieth!
Done it again! Just as he did at the John Deere for his first win.
Unbelievable.
Unbelievable.
That's right. That's right. There's Jim Nance and the crew on CBS. Holds out for his 10th win. As we've said, that the 23-year-old former Longhorn becomes the only PGA player since World War II not named Tiger Woods, with 10 victories before his 24th birthday. He was in the same greenside bunker on 18 in regulation. Said that helped him when he got to the playoff hole.
Hit it right into that bunker, which I told Michael, look, if it goes in where we were earlier, that's fine. And if it carries, then great. And then from there, put the same kind of swing as the other bunker shot. I was just at a little different angle, and it took a little right bounce and a little cut spin, and it took the, you know, rolled with the hill. I jumped up and saw it coming down right on the pin, and I went nuts.
Certainly did. What a reaction. A big chest bump with his caddy, and that's his 10th victory. Major League Baseball, speaking of roller coasters, how about the Texas Rangers? They built a 7-0 lead at Yankee Stadium yesterday. Then, thanks to long balls from Adrian Beltre, Sin Soo Choo, and Drew Robinson, then they had to hold on for a 7-6 nail-biter. They take 2 out of 3 on the weekend. Matt Bush punched out Gary Sanchez to end it. Texas now heads for Cleveland for 4 games with the Indians. Houston Astros improved to 29-9 on the road this season, posting their 52nd win overall. They beat the Mariners 8-2. George Springer, Yuri Gurriel, Evan Gattis, all with long balls. Houston wraps up their road trip 6-1. Astro manager A.J. Hinch really excited about his bullpen. His starter, Francis Martez, yesterday only lasted 2 innings, but the bullpen shut it down from there.
They came up with a huge inning, and to a man, they came in and threw very well. Obviously, it's big to get a series win against these guys on the road the way they've been playing, but we needed all of our guys to step up. The versatility of our pen has been talked about over and over again. It was in full effect today on the field. All those guys came in and did a nice job of stretching themselves to their limitations.
Houston comes back home. They'll take today off and then open a series with Oakland on Tuesday night at Minute Maid Park. Round Rock rained out at Del Diamond yesterday. Game with the I-Cubs suspended in the second inning because of standing water and the team travel curfew. Essentially means the Cubs had to catch a plane and wouldn't be able to wait. That game will be resumed when the Express visit Iowa later this week. First up, though, they open a 4-game series in Nashville tonight. 7:05 right here on the Horn for the first pitch of the first game. College baseball down to its final two, and they're both from the Southeastern Conference. LSU faces Florida tonight in game one of the best of 3 series for the national championship. LSU beat top-ranked Oregon State twice to advance. Florida eliminated TCU on Saturday night. And that's the news from the Ticket City Update Desk. We'll get you the latest on Tom Herman's recruiting. He gained one and lost one coming up, but that series will be fun tonight. Give LSU a lot of credit to beat Oregon State, a team that only lost 4 times all year on back-to-back nights. God, I felt like watching these teams. That Oregon State was a lock for the final.
Sure.
And they went
beat
right,
pretty good, too, that second game.
Good for LSU, and Florida's been really good. As we said in our coaches' corner back in the 7 o'clock hour, the irony for this is that all 4 of the coaches that were in the Final Four in college baseball this year were coaches that – were at one time were believed to be candidates for the Texas job when Augie Garrido, when that job became available last summer. Kevin O'Sullivan, the coach at Florida, was seemingly the odds favorite from the beginning. He was the coach to beat. Seemed like he was going to be his. They did talk to Paul Maneri at LSU. They did talk with Pat Casey out at Oregon State because he's already won a couple of national championships. And Jim Schlossnagel, of course, at TCU was a name that, by what I was told, would have taken it. But it really never, and the offer.
And Augie's cash enough money.
And that was the weird thing in the industry is that Augie Garrido was making above $1 million at the end, and the thought was the next coach would make at least that and maybe
or
a little
more.
North of that.
Yeah.
And when the offer started rolling out, it wasn't that. To which
Try a lot to lowball of those dudes.
To which a lot of the coaches just said, well, I'll just go to my AD and get a raise.
Which
and I'll
did.
Stay right here. And clearly those 4 coaches knew that they had good teams coming back.
Oh, they're good coaches.
Well, they're good coaches, but if you're a team like LSU or Florida and you go, hey, I got a really good team here. I mean, we've got a team that can make a run to Omaha.
You have to pay me an awful lot of money to leave.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And we've built a good program.
Yep.
So all four of those guys were among it. You know, UCLA's coach was in the mix for a while, it seemed like. And, of course, they hired David Pierce. And, you know, in year one, I think the results were really positive. I know there were a lot of Longhorn fans frustrated they didn't get out of that regional with two chances to beat Long Beach State one time and couldn't muster much offense and made some key defensive mistakes. But, you know, a team that went from 80-some errors and ranked 200-plus in the college baseball and team defense to number four in the country.
That's a pretty good turnaround.
Only 32 errors. That's coaching. I mean,
it's a good turnaround when you don't even know the kids.
Yeah, I mean, it's attention to detail, and it's teaching the fundamentals, and it's playing at a higher level. I just don't think Texas – when Texas would stack up with David Pierce, whatever lineup he'd roll out there, when they would stack up against the best teams in the country because they played, five teams that hosted regionals, you know, TCU, Texas Tech, Stanford.
Yeah, when you told me they looked different as baseball players compared to some other teams, they had some big like TCU's guys. Like they look like baseball players. They look, you know, physically.
Well, TCU and Texas Tech has a big team.
Right.
Big athletic-looking team.
Texas, seniors and juniors on their team
veterans.
And stuff.
No, so Texas had, well, we know about the core seniors, and Casey Clemens had a great senior year. It was
such
a great story. Got himself drafted. But, you know, he was really the only guy. You know, Patrick Mathis was in and out of lineup with injuries, and he was kind of streaky this year. You know, those are the kind of guys they need to recruit more offense.
They didn't have a star. Their star was a freshman defensive player.
Well,
who made a lot of plays.
Yeah, the kid from San Marcos at shortstop.
Right.
And he's going to become a good hitter, but he was a freshman, and he was a little overmatched against good pitching with his bat. You know, those young guys are what they're going to build around. I mean, you'll come back next year with Nolan Kingham at the top of the rotation. Unfortunately, you lost the kid Nick Kennedy in the draft. He went fourth. I mean, you were hoping to have that left-hander back. But, you know, they lose 11 draft picks. But, you know, again, I think the results were positive in year one for David Pierce. But, again, it is somewhat ironic that all four of the coaches that were the last four standing were guys that Texas fans wanted and at some point talked with Mike Perrin at some level and at least were in the conversation to be the new baseball coach.
And I'm pretty sure Coach has some guys that have been on his radar he can't wait to get here, you know, the ones that are actually coming. That he's been looking forward to coaching, and that he knows him through recruiting. He's known him through recruiting.
Yes,
it's nice to get those guys in
right
in house.
You know, I think David Pierce and that coaching staff will like getting in some of the guys that they've recruited and built relationships with over their time, and that'll add a different feel to this. And the one thing that you know David Pierce is doing is he's moving away from the Augie Garrido, you know, total small ball thing, bringing the fences in, wants to get a little more offensive. But the pitching and the defense didn't suffer at all this year. The pitching and the defense were outstanding. What they need is better hitting. And that's more about the players right now than the coaching, in my opinion. And if you go back to that that final game with Long Beach State, that's the real disappointing one for Longhorn fans because Long Beach State trotted out a guy on that Monday night that had started and pitched deep into the game on Friday night.
Yep.
I mean, this guy was tired and wasn't throwing much. And Texas still, I mean, that's not on the coaches. That's on the players. And the players got to be able to turn that guy around. They're college baseball players. That guy didn't have much going.
He got through that game.
Yeah, well, he only had the last, I think it was four innings before they went to their lefty specials in a big spot, maybe the fifth inning. But, yeah, I mean, you've got to take better at-bats than that. I know this was being coached. But, you know, at some point you got to get in the box and not let the pressure get to you and attack the zone and put the ball in play. Texas just took bad at bat after bad at bat in that game, and that's frustrating, but I don't know that that's coaching. I think that's more between-the-ears stuff.
For the players?
Yeah. I mean, players got to play. Players got to step up in those spots.
Well, it wasn't like they'd been in that spot a lot.
Right. Oh, yeah, I think pressure certainly was evident in that spot, playing on the road like that, and they weren't a great road team all year, so... All right, so B&E on the horn. There you go. College baseball will be done by Wednesday. One of the SEC teams. You know, it's interesting that both of those teams they finished first and second in the SEC regular season. So essentially, this is the SEC championship that we're watching.
And congrats to Texas A&M for another national championship. Way to go, Aggies!
Do they get part of this?
Oh yeah, SEC. They're part of it.
Well, they can put it up on their board.
Of course.
Okay.
Well done.
They play in the SEC. Yeah, they're a part of it. Not really, but.
Oh, I love it. All right, B&E on the horns. We've got a lot out there.
Yeah, we got basketball. It's, you know, people are trying to beat the Golden State Warriors now. Got to figure out what they're going to do over the next couple of days. LeBron gathering together his old buddies.
All right, so what if the Cavs are able to get Paul George, because there's a report of potential three-team trade with the Nuggets and the Pacers that would send K-Love to Denver and Paul George to Cleveland. They get Paul George and find a way to get Carmelo and Dwayne Wade and buy out.
Okay, now they got it. Now I'm saying.
What do you think? Is that good enough to beat? Because a lot of those.
That's good enough to beat them. But okay. Carmelo and Dwayne Wade alone, with what the Cavs have, I'm going to say, okay, now the Cavs will win two games next year when they play them. I'm thinking they'll win two.
I mean, it sounds like a Seinfeld episode, these guys. Okay. Now, remember when George Costanza was working for Steinbrenner, and he's like coming up with all these trade scenarios. We get Griffey Jr. we put him on our. Now we're gonna have a team. Now we're gonna have these guys. It's like, really? I mean, this is where we are now in the NBA. Kevin Durant has so.
But it's waking everybody in the NBA up. I know they all can't win, and they're all not going to get close. But Minnesota just got a little closer, I believe.
I do too. But really, you're going to trade for Paul George, and then in the craziest thing about that league, these buyouts. Where the Knicks and the Bulls will pay Dwayne Wade and Carmelo Anthony, respectively, huge amounts of money to not play for them, just to buy out their contracts, so that then they can go sign with Cleveland? That seems rigged. That just seems dumb.
I want them to. Don't you want to see them play the Warriors?
I want to see a team with LeBron James, Carmelo Anthony, Dwayne Wade, Paul George,
yes.
Kyrie Irving.
Yes, that's what you want to see.
No, I don't.
You don't? PK, don't you want to see that versus the Warriors next
year? How many balls they get to play with?
You will be there for every stinking game in the finals.
Yeah, I mean, that's the only way anybody's going to beat Golden State. It feels like it,
well,
right?
Then why don't we just fast forward to June and just go?
Well, we could have done that the last 2 years.
I know.
I want to see it. I definitely want to see it.
I want to see the finals. I don't want to see the whole season.
And then I look at Danny Ainge and go, hey, you had a chance to get closer by taking Jimmy Butler, but you didn't want him.
And of the 82 games, how many games do you think Dwayne Wade will play?
Oh, not many.
40? And those guys will just rotate through.
Sure.
They'll be sitting out.
But they're starting. That's what Pop and everybody's doing with these guys now anyway. You don't want to be a regular season fan. You don't want to pay for that season ticket because you're not going to see anything.
When I say rigged at some level, it's so the Knicks and the Bulls, because normally you would have to trade for those assets. There are rules that, I mean, you can't, if you trade for a guy, you got to trade salary that equals or is close to that.
Players own the league now.
Yeah. I mean, you're really going to buy them out. They're going to pay you not to play. So that you can go play with LeBron and this all-star team in Cleveland. I understand it would be somewhat exciting, but it's also silly.
I know this. If I'm Chris Paul, I'm not leaving $50 million on the table. I'm coming back to the Clippers. I don't care if the rest of them leave. That's way too much money to leave on the table, right? I know he's young and he can play a bunch of years and get another contract, but $50 million sounds really high, doesn't it?
Well, because,
at any level?
Because they can sign him to an extra year and to the most money. I mean that's the what do they call that? That super free agent deal Supermax deal.
And not many of them have it, right?
Well, you got to be with the same franchise for long enough, you got to be a veteran, and when you come to free agency, if you re-sign with that team, they can offer you an extra year and more money per year than any other team. So, you're talking about a grand total of about $50 million cuz that extra year is about 30. And it's like an extra $5 million per season that they can offer that the other can't. So you add that up over 4 years, that's another $20 million.
Who's going to leave that behind? That's crazy.
Yeah, well, the Knicks are about to give that to Carmelo Anthony to go away.
Well, Phil Jackson seems like he'll do anything to go away, right?
He wants him to go away.
Yeah, I don't know, man. I mean, it sucks that this is where the league is right now, but I don't want the Warriors to go 16-1 in the playoffs.
The league has more interest than it's ever had because of this madness.
Well, we'll see. I mean, it becomes somewhat of a silly arms race at some level, and it doesn't seem. I mean, if you're another team in the East and this happens, you're like, really? Like the Celtics, which I'm down on Danny Ainge, but like we're kind of really building this thing the right way. And wait a second, these guys get bought out, and now they just end up on the Cleveland roster. That seems odd. That just seems.
Oh, the teams that just get hammered with this is like the Atlanta.
Sure,
Atlanta
all those teams.
Gets hammered.
The
Sixers,
rest of them.
Yeah, the rest of them.
Hey, can we hear that? Maybe this is, I don't know if this is the right cut or not, but let's hear some George Costanza, because he was the general manager of the Yankees for a little while in his own mind on that great television show. Oh, that's not it? That's not it. Now we have a team. He's trying to get Griffey Jr. He was aligning this whole team. It was great. It was great.
Well, speaking of the Yankees, that's what they do. But that's what they've done for years.
Yeah, but that was always the argument, right? That was a league without a salary cap. So the Yankees could outspend everybody. And that was the frustrating part. But what the Yankees did was build an unbelievable farm system that produced the likes of Derek Jeter and Bernie Williams and Mariano Rivera and Andy Pettit. I mean, these guys all came through their system and came up together. But so then the Yankees were flush with cash. So then when they needed a piece, they just go get it. If they needed Roger Clemens, they go get Roger Clemens. I mean, if they needed whatever they needed, they could just go sign and
whatever they needed from the Sox, they wouldn't got.
Yeah, Wade Boggs, go get Wade Boggs. Put him at third base. I mean, but yeah, they could outbid. But you know, this is, I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong on this, and this is great for the league. I just think it seems like,
I'll tell you what you're going to think next silly. Year if they stay the same, and when the Warriors and it's the cupcake
like an,
guy
like
raise the trophy.
Game.
Oh, they won't play any ball during the regular season.
Now, what's the regular season for?
I don't know. It's not going to be good. But Pop and those guys rest guys all the time. But no one says anything when Greg Popovich is resting guys. It's, oh, well, we have to do this. Tony Parker's too old, and we need him for the playoffs. But so it's a good thing when they do it, but when anybody else does it, it's like, wait a minute, we're screwing up basketball.
Well, Pop got fined a few years ago for doing it.
Sure he did.
Nobody else gets fined now, so I
well,
know.
I mean, at that point, Cleveland would have so many stars that they could even rest some of their stars, and then they would still have
enough stars.
On the
floor. Yeah, I know. You're
That's
right.
That's what I'm saying. We'll just put a couple of these guys down. We'll let Dwayne Wade and Carmelo and Kyrie carry us for a while, for a week or so.
And you still got stars playing.
And then we're going to bring LeBron back in with the rest of these guys, and we'll still win 55 games and just get to the playoffs as healthy as
but
possible.
But can we beat the Warriors?
Okay, well, wake me up in June. That's when I'll care.
Well, you start caring in June anyway. That's how you watch basketball.
That's true. That is true. But
yeah.
Well, good luck to that.
The only games that'll matter is that.
Maybe I'll be
four
watching,
games at Christmas.
Maybe I'll be watching the Big Three.
You've got to watch three on three
basketball.
It's a Big 12!
No, right. You've got to watch 3-on-3, man. Eddie Robinson's playing.
Which team is Smush Parker on? Which team is Smush Parker on? That's the team I'm going for. Allen Iverson's the player coach of a team.
Steve, he doesn't have to practice.
Steve Franchise, he plays. Ice Cube started this league with a business guy. 3-on-3 basketball league.
And Rashard Lewis has been playing since he was like 10.
Well, Rashard Lewis is from Houston. He was one of those kids drafted right out of Houston, right out of high school.
Right out of high school. Didn't he get some contract that was...
Yeah, he earned a max contract after the
2 years?
First deal. Yeah, they paid him big money. And Rashard was a nice player. I mean, he was a nice player. Remember, he went to Miami. Didn't he win the title with the Heat? When Bron and D-Wade were
running the show? Oh, he was a part
show?
Of that?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, these guys have all made a fortune. Most of them have probably blown it all, but
no. Charles Sprewell has.
J.R. Ryder. That's a name I haven't heard in a long time.
He's a guard, right?
And by the way, someone texted and say, why on earth would the greatest player in the history of the game not be playing in this old-timers league? And I'm thinking, if they called Michael Jordan and asked him to play in this league, how quickly do you think he said, no?
No.
He's not going to play in this league. Are you kidding me?
I think probably not.
You keep Dr. J. I think I'll stay out of this.
Yeah, Dr. J is a coach in this all-for-fun league, I guess. And I guess they're being pretty competitive. I mean, they're all Hall of Fame competitors, a lot of them. But J.R. Ryder. Remember Isaiah Ryder?
They're going to blow out all their ligaments, these guys.
There won't be an Achilles tendon left after this thing is over.
Stop it.
Oh, they're all going to pop. It's going to be. I mean, Vince Young found out. You shut it down for a while. You stop playing year round
and then try to come back at full speed.
These guys are like, oh, well, I play all the time. I can go down to the gym and play. No, you're not like playing. You get the why.
It's like my boys on Monday night before poker. They play a game of basketball, like four games, and they talk about how.
And they're sore the next day.
Yeah, they're talking about, man, we really got into it. I'm like, oh, really? Can you imagine these guys trying to get back into it, then getting on that court and tearing up everything they got?
Well, I'm the guy who.
Because I think Chocolate Thunder or White Thunder
now.
Or Chocolate Black, I think he blew out a bunch of stuff.
How many times since you've known me did I, even right before 40, and I'd go out and play, I haven't played in a while, go out into the softball league. First time you rip one down the line and you break out of that box.
Oh, trying to run it out?
Geez,
the only one I know that
no.
can do that is Ricky Williams at any given time.
Now, Ricky is the...
Can still take off and go.
Yeah, I pulled my calf muscle at the Reckless Kelly celebrity game last time. Just, you break out of the box. You haven't done that in a while.
I didn't have shrimp in the batter's box.
No shrimp. And my hydration level was not at a championship performance.
I've seen Ricky. I've seen Ricky not play for 15 years and then play in a street with some kids and take off going like 100 miles an hour without pulling a thing.
We had him in the Reckless Kelly
game. He
could
run, right?
Yeah, that was Casey Sutter's fault. He was supposed to be on our team, and Casey stole him for the other red team, Willie Braun's team. It's ridiculous. And so, yeah, he hit one about a 10-foot dribbler, Ricky did. He swung as hard as he could, and he just kind of came squirting out.
And he took off.
And he went down that line. Woo! That dude can move.
Big guy.
And that was also the game. Who was it? It was Casey that ran over the poor guy.
Oh, yeah, the at home plate.
Yeah, big Casey. He's coming into home plate, and there's this fiddle play or something for some...
Busted his, like, arm and stuff.
And it broke his arm.
Did he swim down?
I don't know.
But Casey, the guy's blocking the plate.
And he took him out.
Roger Clemens is trying to throw him out at the plate, and he just... Casey belly bumped him, just got doom.
Thus the new rule at home plate for collisions.
Well, it was actually William Clark Green's guitar player that...
Didn't he tear his hand up or something?
And broke his hand. Broke his hand. That's not good for a guitar player, I'm saying. And poor William. William's like, we're about to go on tour.
That's right. They had to get a different dude.
They're going in the studio. It's like, guy can't be breaking his arm. That's no good. His wrist. But, yeah, that's fun. But, yeah, that old-timer
stuff. I'm watching this league. I just want you to know. When the game
you will
comes
not
up,
be watching this. You'll turn it on for like 30 seconds and be like, okay, I'm going to go back to the Westerns.
I watch Canadian football on Friday. I watch the Red Blacks.
Well, you love football. You don't like three-on-three basketball.
I don't like football that much to watch the Red Blacks, and I can't believe I watched that madness.
But you're a football coach. You play football. That's you love. And Canadian football is actually pretty close to real football.
No, it's
three
not.
Three-on-three basketball?
I'll tell you, no, it's not. No. I'm still going to say no.
No.
No, it's very similar to that semi-pro league I coached here. Okay?
I don't think it's Austin Wrangler's old outdoor league level. Where you're trying to tell guys they're going to get paychecks when you knew
here's
they
weren't. Here's $200. Here's
$200. No, guys, your paychecks are really coming, I promise.
Next week.
Hey, where's
next
the
week.
Owner? We haven't seen the owner out here.
He's gone. He left town.
We'll be back. B&E on the horn. We will talk some Texas football. Tom Herman landed a commitment and lost one, but were they? How related were they? We'll get you details on that as they get the commitment of one of the fastest players in the country. As Bucky sniffles in the mic, it's B&E on the horn. Oh, seriously?
Come on, Dale. Come on.
Bucky's been asking me all morning, what was the song they were playing when Dalton got with Kelly Lynch in Roadhouse up in the loft?
This is Otis Redding.
This is Otis
Redding. These arms of mine, right? Or this heart of mine?
These arms of mine. I have that song on my iPod.
Do you?
I absolutely
do. You
got
some variety on your iPod.
I do have that one.
The dude was getting down on this one right here now, wasn't he?
Dalton.
Yeah.
I thought he'd be taller.
I thought he'd be taller, too, but he did that midair thing where, you know what I mean?
It was a bad
trick.
You know what?
He was like a trick rider there. So, I like that scene. But he didn't pull the guy's heart out. He only pulled his throat out. I think he pulled that guy's heart out when he went to
Someone told us that the heart deal was like Dumb and Dumber.
No. No. Dalton did the
he pulled his esophagus out.
I don't think so. I think he did the three-wing, three-prong Aoki deal and went into his chest, turned his a little out. Bit, and his heart came right out of his chest.
I don't know.
Because the girl got all mad and all upset.
Because it was his throat. He throat jacked him.
So he pulled his lungs out?
No, he pulled his, the
esophagus out?
Where your Adam's apple is.
He pulled that piece out? And then the girl, I couldn't understand. The girl got all weirded out by that. The guy was trying to kill him. You know?
Fight to the death.
Yeah, we need more of that stuff.
And we still need BK to see that film, which he has not.
And we don't need MMA where people are sharding themselves with, tapping out and all that stuff. Go fight to the death if you're going to do that.
Fight to the death.
Yeah.
All right, couple of Texas football notes. I saw this. A guy named Patrick Wu, who happens to be the scouting and everything else it says here for the Senior Bowl, the Reese's Senior Bowl. So he's one of the scouts. Mm-hmm. He had a tweet yesterday that says, congrats to my guy at Shane Bouchel for winning the Manning Academy quarterback competition. So if you're a Longhorn fan, you got to feel pretty good about that.
A lot of good quarterbacks go to
Shane
that.
Shane went to the Manning camp
yep.
and won the top honors at that camp. So good for him.
That's the one that Manziel went and was drunk and didn't show
yeah,
up on
kicked
time.
Out of.
Got kicked out of.
Got kicked out of. Yeah, yeah. Exactly. So good for Shane. Also on the recruiting front, Tom Herman. So this is interesting. It came down yesterday. A kid named Rondale Moore. He was in Austin. Remember they had the pool party? The Texas heat wave pool party.
Right.
It was so blazing hot. And Coach was bringing in a bunch of guys. And, you know, what better way to deal with the Texas heat than put them in the swimming pool and let everybody have a good time. So everybody, by all accounts, they had a great time. And so this kid was there. He is the number one ranked prospect in the state of Kentucky. He is a 5'9", 180-pound, 170-pound speedster who has been clocked at the Nike camp at low 4.3 in the 40s. He's one of the fastest players. Someone told us earlier on the text line that he He bench presses over 500, or excuse me, squats over 500 pounds. So really strong,
little guy, yeah,
who can fly. So he is in, as the was the 12th commitment. But as soon as he committed, the kid Justin Watkins, the receiver, kind of a similar style of player, decommitted from Florida. He was a kid from Florida. Judkin Watkins decommits. And there was a Rivals analyst who said the word on the street there is that Herman, Texas, and Watkins had a deal that if he doesn't take any more visits, they won't recruit any more slot receivers. Because he's already committed and decommitted a couple of times already. So Texas is like, look, we're in, you're ours, but if you take other visits, we're going to, you know, start looking around.
Or playing those games.
So reportedly, or not reportedly, so Watkins then took a visit to Louisville. And so I don't know if it's a coincidence that Tom Herman said, okay, then I'll go to Louisville and take the best player from Kentucky, Rondale Moore, which is what happened. Which takes us to this. Athlon's magazine, Athlon's.com, has ranked all 140 coaches from 1 to 140, or 130. There's 130 teams. You know who 130 is? Rated as the worst coach by Athlon's?
Chuck Strong. Chuck Strong.
Jay Norvell. Jay Norvell, a one-time offensive coordinator in Texas. He's the head coach at Nevada.
Oh.
They have ranked. They have him ranked 130.
That's not fair.
Somebody hired that guy?
That's not fair.
Why?
I met Jay. Jay's a good dude.
He'll be a good dude. He sucks as a coach.
He got hired as a Nevada. Why am I out of coaching? I'm just too old now. That's all right. But Jay Norvell is now the
head
guy
coach
there
at Nevada. Yeah,
in Nevada.
Yeah. By the way, number 128 on the list, a guy named Brent Brennan. He's the head coach at San Jose State. Texas plays San Jose State week two.
Texas State coach.
127, Everett Withers. Ooh. 127. He's got some work to do. He's still new to the gig. Number one, of course, you can guess. Nick Saban.
What does it mean? Tell me what it means.
Nick Saban.
Did it say that in there?
No, I said that. That's my own editorial change. Two, Urban Meyer, no one argues. Jim Harbaugh. Crazy Jim Harbaugh.
I'm gonna say that's yet to be seen. Now that he's lost all those seniors, I want to see how he coaches this year with a bunch of seniors.
Hey, listen, Jimbo Fisher, 4. Dabo Swinney, now with the national championship, 5. Chris Peterson, Washington, 6. Stanford's David Shaw, 7. And then back-to-back Big 12 coaches, Bill Snyder and Gary Patterson.
He doesn't even know the rules, Bill Snyder.
Sure he does. How about Bobby Petrino, 10? What a dirtbag.
Yeah, he is a dirtbag.
Bill Snyder and Gary Patterson in the top 10?
Yeah.
And here's, how about James
Mike Gundy,
Franklin?
11. Mike
James
Gundy.
Franklin was about to get fired last year
James
if he
Franklin,
didn't turn
12.
It around.
I think Mike Gundy's 40 on the list, isn't he?
Mike Gundy's 11.
I'm a man! I'm 40!
No, you're 11, Coach, and you have a nice mullet going on.
Plus, you got a nice quarterback
Michigan
coming back.
State Coach Mark D'Antonio is 13. Mark Richt, Kyle Whittingham, David Cutcliffe, Pat Fitzgerald, Mike Leach. How about Mike Leach in the top 20? Dan Mullen, Mississippi State. He's not such a good coach without a guy named Dak, who took them to number one.
Mike Leach at Washington State.
18,
huh?
Yeah. Justin Fuente.
Coming off a pretty good rookie season, correct?
And you know Justin Fuente, you know, one of the reasons, when Bob Stoops left, if Bob Stoops had left in January, Justin Fuente probably would have been the Oklahoma coach.
Played at Oklahoma. That gig. You're right. He would have got the gig.
Yeah, done a great job at Memphis and Virginia Tech. And that's one of the reasons Bob Stoops waited till June, so that couldn't or wouldn't happen. Justin Fuente, 20.
So we think differently of Bob Stoops now, don't we, PK? We think he's a good guy now for doing that for his coaches.
We'll find out if Lincoln Riley can't coach. If it was all about keeping his brother's job.
He stuck the university big
Lincoln's going to fire his brother after this year.
Oh, I can't wait for that deal.
Oh, yeah.
Because Mike's a hothead anyway. Wouldn't that be great? Well, because look, if Justin Fuente becomes the coach, Mike Stoops is probably fired. He'll get blown out with the rest of them. They'll change out that coaching staff. But Fuente's a guy who played at OU. Was always seen as kind of the likely successor to Bob Stoops, and still might be if Lincoln Riley doesn't get it done.
We're starting to get too high not to see Coach Herman's.
Yeah, and Coolwater. Toss salad. Where's he?
I'll get there. Jim McElwain's 21. Gus Malzahn. Tom Herman at 23 on this list, ahead of the highly paid Kirk Ferentz and Brian Kelly of Notre Dame.
Below Jim McElwain?
Well, at this point. You know,
God, what he did at Houston, Bielema. Though. I mean,
Brent Bielema.
Brent Bielema is at 27. Cliff Kingsbury, I believe I saw at 90.
Oh.
90. Kevin Sumlin, 40. Sure, you sure about that? 40? Oh, no. Matt Rhule, 42. Yeah, 90 for your guy.
Mike Riley? What's Big Mike Riley done?
Big Magic Johnson.
There's Chuck Strong.
What has he done?
Charlie Strong, 58. 58 on the list.
Is that just below average or what?
Well, you would think at the University of Texas. But yeah, 58.
That kind of slightly below Willie Fritz at Tulane. Really? Come on, man. Tulane was 4-8 last year.
Well, so is Charlie Strong.
Sorry.
Five and eight. 5-7 and lost to Kansas.
You know, the state was starting to make a move. Mark Stoops, though.
Yeah,
Mark doing
Stoops.
Some good things at Kentucky.
They have Lincoln Riley, by the way, at 63.
Where's Beatty on the list?
David Beatty, your Kansas Jayhawk?
Uh-oh, yeah, keep on going.
By the way, they're skipping. They're dumping $300 million into that football stadium.
They've earned it.
And that's not a misprint. $300 million. They won like two football games in the last 3 years.
This dude's not even making the list.
Who, Beatty? Yeah, I'm looking for Dave Beatty.
You know
here.
What's wrong here? Doc Holliday at Marshall. That's way. Doc Holliday is a wonderful coach.
It's because he's a friend of yours. Cliff is 91. Your friend Randy Edsel's 92.
I didn't even know he was still coaching.
David Bailiff, 97. I mean, this is so subjective and silly, but. Yeah, I'm still not finding David Beatty.
I don't see enough guys in the MAC.
David Beatty, 109. 109.
Come on.
Ouch. Jeez. Chad Morris is, somebody texted and asked for Chad Morris. He is this is according to Athlon's magazine, by the way. This is not our list. Who do you ask about? Chad Morris? He's like in the 80s. Somewhere in the 80s, I thought.
David Beatty's the only coach on there who infinitely increased his win totals. Over the course of one season.
When the win total was one.
Oh, it was zero. It went from zero to two. Nobody else went that high.
Chad Morris is 83. And again, these things, Charlie Strong coming out of Louisville would have been high on a lot of people's list. Now he's 58.
You're absolutely right.
In front of Fritz. So there you go. There's the list. There's some college football conversation. Longhorns have 11 commitments. But as we said, only one offensive lineman and no defensive lineman in the class so far. Obviously, the beef has to be added between... You know, the 12th
I think if you're getting special
players
like you're getting, you know, at these special positions, wide receiver, defensive back, even linebacker, I think you'll get a couple big-time defensive linemen. That is, I know it's going to come later, but I believe he'll do that job. I think he'll get it done.
Okay.
And Dalton did rip out the throat. You're right. He
of
took
course,
the throat
of course
out.
I'm right.
Yeah.
Come on. He was the bodyguard of the ass that lived across the lake.
Yeah, that's right. And he was a friend of Sam Shepard's, right? Sam Shepard played the old dude in that movie.
Sam Elliott,
Sam Shepard. I'm not the same white guys,
Dalton,
aren't they?
Hey, Dalton.
Hey, that voice, yes.
Yeah, he's the best.
Andy Dalton and Sam Ellinger in this movie?
No, it's not
no, dude, you got to see that film. That's an all-time.
Please see that before you see the next sport movie, whatever you're going
to
watch.
And didn't the old guy across the street that everybody hated that ran the town, he used to date Kelly Lynch, right?
They used
to be his girl.
That was his girl, and he didn't like Dalton coming in.
And then Dalton put her up against the wall, and it was all over. Then he had to come out.
Play that song. He played that song to her, and that was it. And they were smoking cigarettes back in those days, too.
Yeah, they had a share to smoke after.
They had it rolled up in their sleeve, you know what I mean?
Roadhouse.
Lucky Stripes.
You got to see that, BK. You got to do that on your summer movie series on the Midday Show.
Oh, man, Trey Elling just comes in and says it's the most overrated movie.
What is he talking about?
Come on, man! You got the
that
blind
scene
dude.
Is one
What's
of the, best scenes
playing in the cage.
That's one of the best man woman scenes you've ever seen.
Are you talking about the love scene?
Yes.
Well, most people like it for the bad fighting,
and the fighting was pretty good too.
No, I think it's a good film. I don't know if we could call it a sports related movie, but it's a guy classic.
It's a karate movie.
It's a guy classic.
It's more of a karate movie
with Dalton,
like the Karate Kid, right? With Dalton, it's more like a Karate Kid kind of.
You know, Karate Kid's kind of an underdog story. Uplifting kid from New Jersey.
But what are you talking about? Why are you going around spreading bad news about that shit?
Trailing, you don't like Roadhouse?
I just think it's vastly overrated by people, much like Forrest Gump was back in the day.
I love Forrest Gump.
I do have to ask you guys this question, though, because we're still considering what we're watching this week for our sports-themed movie. It's down to Tin Cup, which is one of the best golf movies ever made, and then Kingpin, which is more of a slapstick, gross-out comedy involving bowling.
I'd go Tin Cup first.
Okay. Aaron?
Tin Cup, yeah. Roy McAvoy? Tin Cup McAvoy?
Yeah, for sure.
Because he gets Rene Russo in that one.
Another hot babe in there.
Yeah, hot
babe. He's got
babe.
A horse face, but don't worry about it.
Don Johnson's the... Yeah, you got to see that. I like that, BK. That's good.
Cheech Marin.
Cheech Marin's in that.
So you didn't like Dalton taking out the throat?
I just think it's a lot of cheesy 80 effects does not stand the test of time.
With the dude Blind Sean playing the as the band leader and all that stuff.
Blind Sean,
come on,
exactly.
We're talking about the late, great Patrick Swayze from the city of Houston.
I look at that movie a lot like I do the film Robin Hood Men in Tights, which was a Mel Brooks movie that I loved as a kid. And I watched it as an adult with this enthusiasm, and I get about halfway through, I'm like, man, other than Dave Chappelle, this movie really sucks.
They tried to do a remake of Roadhouse. That's how good it was.
With Ronda Rousey.
That's right. Sam Elliott's in that. Kelly Lynch. Ben Gazzara's in that.
He's the bad villain.
I ain't watching no movies with Ronda Rousey in them. I can tell you that.
That's the old. That's the new one. Yeah,
Tin Cup has got
to
be it. I think you'll enjoy it. It's a good film. Thank you. Thank you, Trey. Trey, what's coming up on the Midday Show today?
We're going to speak with Andrew King from the Football Brainiacs about the Longhorns' newest commitment, also the decommitment that happened as a byproduct. At noon, we're speaking with Longhorn legend and NFL player Alex Okafor. He's got a football camp in Pflugerville this weekend. He spoke with Chad and Kevin last week. Going to chat it up with him. And, of course, we'll get to our weekend plans. It looks like BK is starting to feel a little bit better, although
he looks better.
Mustache above his upper lip now.
Yeah,
I'm kind of curious about that.
We're gonna have to fix that deal. Hey, did you get your Kim Jong-un romper in yet?
I'm still waiting for it. And of course, after BK and I talk about it, all of a sudden it blows up on social media. I'm not saying that we are the cause for it blowing up on social media, but it has. So I'm hoping because of that.
I don't want you to wear that, to tell the truth.
Why not?
Because I think there's just too many crazy people out there that will come and take a shot at you in the gonads because the face is there, just to. You know,
he's worried about your safety.
I'm serious. I'm worried about your safety wearing that Kim Jong-un. I think you can get a different one.
Well, what if I try and get the Kim Jong-un romper to eat some of the Taco Bell that I'm consuming? Like, I try and, like, jam it in his mouth, which is, like, almost at my crotch level.
You got to get to the timeout. I will tell you, I ran into a guy yesterday out my way south. He said he'll never listen to our station ever again after y'all's fleshlight conversation.
Really?
So
there were a few of those. There were a lot that enjoyed it, too,
though. Any Bill Cosby rompers? Hey.
No, I saw a Donald Trump romper, though. That one's creepy.
We'll be back. B&E on the horn. Thank you, Trey Elling. Big Trey and BK in the midday coming up 11 to 1 on a busy Monday. It's B&E on the horn.
It's Bucky and Aaron.
Good, bad, and ugly all morning, folks. A lot of good stuff today. Among our goods were Jordan Spieth, the chip, the shot, unbelievable. Astros are red hot. Rangers took 2 out of 3 from Bucky's Yankees. But even yesterday was a bit of a nail-biter. Dodgers are the hottest team in baseball right now with this kid, Cody Bellinger.
Oh, my goodness, can he swing?
God, what a beautiful swing. 21 years old. He's got 24 home runs now. He's hit 11 in his last 6 games. Guy's just unbelievable carrying those Dodgers into first place. I saw a piece Richard Justice wrote for MLB.com that is, it's too early, but why not ponder the opportunity of an Astros-Dodgers World Series and what the matchup should be. Because they're the two best teams in baseball right now. Dodgers are playing in a hell of a division, though, because the D-backs and the Rockies are real good. Astros.
And nobody expects the Rockies to hang on to doing what they're doing, though.
And we'll see if they can. Their pitching's been better. They've got a great lineup, and their closer situation has been rectified. Astros, meanwhile, are in a division where no one else is. I mean, they're 13 games up on the Rangers right now, and no sign of slowing down. They got McCullers back over the weekend. They'll get Dallas Keuchel back right after the All-Star break. And I'll be interested to see if they try to get Keuchel back so that he could pitch in the All-Star game. Right now, it doesn't look like that's the intention. But, if he doesn't pitch before the All-Star game, you could hardly imagine he would pitch in the All-Star game. So
no, I think he just goes and takes a bow.
Among the bad, we've had plenty of bad today, Buck. We have had LeVar Ball. He's going to be part of WWE Raw. I mean, this poor Alonzo Ball. And then Big Magic Johnson doesn't do him any favors. Did you see at the press conference where they introduced Alonzo Ball? And Magic Johnson goes to ripping D'Angelo Russell for no reason. Like, he's gone. You traded him.
Don't say a word about him.
He basically said, what we needed was a leader. Basically ripping the guy.
So now you put more pressure on that kid who's got enough pressure on him as it is.
Well, you're asking for a 20-year-old? I mean, this is what you're doing? You got a 20-year-old kid?
Already got his dad saying how they're going to make the playoffs.
Yeah, now you got a 19-year-old, and he's going to be your leader?
No.
While his dad's on WWE?
That guy's going to break his back. He's
going to
get spinal.
Big Magic Johnson. All right, Bucky's birthday is Thursday. We got big plans for it, so stick with it all week. We'll get you details and maybe how you can be a specially invited guest to the Buck's birthday this Thursday here at the station. Trey and BK coming up in the midday. Orange Buds Radio, 1 to 3. Chad and Kevin this afternoon. Round Rock's in Nashville tonight. Buck, good luck at poker night tonight.
Yeah, baby. I'm ready to go.
Baby needs a new pair of shoes.
Absolutely.
BK, glad you're feeling better. We'll see you again tomorrow. Have a wonderful, wonderful Monday. It's B&E on the Horn.